Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Holy of Holies, move among us, within us, and around us as we listen for your voice, that your kingdom might come and your will be done, according to your living word, this day. Amen. So for several months now, we've been following along with the Revised Common Lectionary and making the journey with Jesus towards Jerusalem in the book of Luke. Last week, we made it to the city and Jesus was teaching in the temple. And a lot can happen in a week. Today, we return to a familiar text from the next to the last chapter in Luke's gospel. Hear now God's word for us today. From chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Messiah of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, have been condemned justly, but we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, this is the witness of Scripture. Thanks be to God. So I'm guessing some of you who have the habit of looking up the Bible passage before we began might have double-checked the information in the bulletin, thinking something along the lines of, "Surely this isn't what we're reading today. We read about the crucifixion in the spring. This is a Good Friday text. For heaven's sake, Advent starts next week. We'll be celebrating Christmas Eve 1 month from today. Why in the world are we spending the last Sunday in November at Golgotha?" Well, today is the last Sunday in the church calendar. For many years now, it has been called Christ the King Sunday. The newer title is Reign of Christ Sunday. King language, as I'm sure you all know, carries the baggage of being a gendered term that hints at the patriarchy. But Reign of Christ can be just as confusing, especially for young children who might think we're talking about a weather forecast rather than who's ultimately in charge of things. But we aren't talking about earthly male rulers, and we aren't talking about the damp weather we're enjoying this morning on this feast day of the church. This day was instituted in the West by Pope Pius XI in 1925 as a response to a rise in nationalism and secularism, as a response to the rise of Benito Mussolini, who liked to think of himself as a king of sorts. The Pope wanted people to recognize the one in whom true power lies, a different kind of power. In 1970, the feast day moved from the end of October to the last Sunday before Advent. And as a result of the rise of the ecumenical movement of the era and the embrace of the Revised Common Lectionary, many churches now celebrate this day. So whether we speak of the reign of Christ or Christ the King or whatever language you can find to embody that image of one who leads us, the hope is that we pause in the midst of our own cultural and political context to remember the one we have chosen to follow. I'm not sure in the end if any title we could come up with can really capture and encapsulate what we're celebrating in this culmination of the liturgical year. Because in the end, our language is flawed. The language we have about leaders, about power, because the examples we have and the stories we know are all very, very human. Like Pope Pius, we're living in a time of secularism and nationalism is on the rise. Power and those who wield it fall short when we seek a metaphor worthy of the Messiah. In the last couple of weeks, if people found themselves in front of any kind of screen, odds are they've watched one of two things that have dominated the airwaves. Either the public impeachment investigation hearings of a sitting United States president, or the third season of the Netflix hit series, The Crown, about the British royal family. Now, what those two things have in common is our desire to understand how people in power operate. We hope to get a glimpse at what goes on behind closed doors, that we might better understand how we got to the state of affairs in which we find ourselves living. We're fascinated by those who are close to the decisions that affect the lives of millions of people all over the globe. The thing is, whether we want to see more about the soft power of the Queen of England or the power of those who have a role in the government of our own country, human leaders are very different from the one we celebrate today. I suppose we could review the teachings of Jesus. There are many metaphors he offers up, which begin, "The kingdom of God is like," but today's text gives us a different lens for understanding what kind of king we worship, what kind of leader we follow, what kind of realm we choose to be a part of. This is the one who wears a crown of thorns rather than a crown of gold, the one who is sentenced to death for questioning the empire and systems of oppression, the one who shows power not through might or magic, but through vulnerability and truth, compassion and grace. So here we are at the foot of the cross. It's a story that makes us uncomfortable, perhaps especially when we aren't expecting it the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But it isn't meant to be a comfortable story. It's the story of a martyr's unjust death. It's an account of the state murdering an innocent man. Yet, even in the midst of our discomfort, there is a word that can be comforting for those with ears to hear. In the lesson, we're reminded that when the Roman state executed Jesus, they also put to death two men who are described only as criminals on either side of him. Just before this text, we're told that the daughters of Jerusalem were mourning Jesus, that Simon of Cyrene had carried the cross for him. And in the midst of the lesson for today, we're told that the people stood and watched. In this space, where faithful Jews and other followers of Jesus had no power, they did what they could. They wept and they wailed and they stood as witnesses to this injustice. We read that the people who society has named as leaders did all they could to humiliate him. They sneer, they taunt, they mock, they strip him of his clothes and do everything in their power to strip him of his dignity. But they fail. The thing is, those of us who are reading this can see something those in power never did see. We can see all those who thought they were so smart and powerful were in the end completely clueless. It's the silent witnesses and those mourning who come closer to knowing what is really happening. And in this passage from Luke's gospel, only one man is able to see that this isn't the end of Jesus' story. The empire is falling, but those in power don't perceive it. That putting to death this troublesome teacher is creating a fault line, not just in the Roman Empire, but in space and time itself. They cannot perceive that what they have planned as an end to this man is truly a beginning. They cannot see that what they have envisioned can be turned upside down and inside out, so that not only his death, but all death is no longer a threat. They can't see this crack in the universe, letting in the light. But there is one man who can and does. One of the criminals catches a glimpse of what is to be. He's able to look at this poor itinerant preacher named Jesus, this innocent man condemned by the state and mockingly called king by the powers that be, and somehow he is able to catch a glimpse of the Christ. He may not have fully grasped what it was he was seeing or asking, but it was clear enough to him that he did make the request. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He understood on some level that to be a citizen of that realm had much more meaning than all that he had experienced. As people of Christ's way, we too are invited to actively claim our citizenship in the realm of God. We are called to live our lives as though Christ is our one true leader, regardless of who happens to be in power here in our day. We're invited to look at our lives the way we look at this passage, to stop and see the things that are painful and unjust, and if we can, to do something about it. If we can't act, but we have the power to speak, speak. Even if we are no more in charge than a convict on a cross, there is power in naming what is true. Even if no one else around us can see it, even if those in power are saying it isn't. And if we cannot act or speak, then we are called to bear witness. Sometimes to watch, sometimes to weep, and always to pray. On this last Sunday of the church year, we celebrate the one we follow. We celebrate that this is the one who surprises us with joy, who disrupts systems that oppress. This is the one who wipes away our fears as well as our tears and welcomes all, regardless of what anyone else thinks. On this last Sunday before Advent, we find ourselves at the foot of the cross in Golgotha. Next week, we will begin the church year all again and prepare for his birth, for his coming again. But today, as we end the year, we pause to remember. We remember the baby we're going to welcome in a month's time is the same Jesus who grew up to proclaim the good news of God's reign, here, now. This is the same Jesus who inspires us to see in new ways and to actively struggle with what we don't understand. That this leader, rather than claiming glory, welcomed children, ate with sinners, and bent down to wash the feet of his disciples. We remember Jesus is the one who offers hope and forgiveness right up to the end, even while hanging on a cross, even to those who had been condemned. It's the same Jesus who invites each one of us to come and follow in the way of Christ, that we too might share the good news of hope and grace, forgiveness and love with all people now. Today, we are reminded, even though next week our church calendar begins again, God's timetable calls us to be about the work of Christ today and tomorrow and every day. Amen.